The Health and Wellness Show on 900 CHML turns our attention to people helping people. We're going to introduce you to a man who has gone public with his story of his battle with anxiety and depression and being sober, and he's actually giving away and giving back to the community in a number of ways. Pleased to be joined by Dave Kilgannon, who works as a peer mentor and peer support worker with CMHA Halton. But there's a reason why you're there. First of all, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks. Thanks for having me. Actually, I'm a little bit nervous because I've never been on the radio before, but it'll be okay.
You'll be fine. Yeah. So let's talk about your story. You went public a while ago about your battles with anxiety and depression, and kind of tell us, in a nutshell, your life history when it comes to that.
So I've been, dealing with anxiety and depression since I was very young age, since I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and never really spoke about it, didn't ask for any help, and as I got older, I struggled more with it and made my life harder.
What were some of the symptoms for you? Physical symptoms, mental symptoms?
So on the depressive side, like not wanting to eat, not wanting to get out of bed, like I could generally most of the time get out of bed for work and not take sick days, but a lot of times on the weekend I might spend pretty much all the weekend or most of the weekend in bed, and just having a lot of self-doubt, low mood on the anxiety side. I can tell you right now as I'm talking, my chest feels warm and I got a kind of a heavy feeling, and I think that'll pass, but that's common.
It's been said, and I've talked to a lot of people on this program, a lot of doctors, a lot of psychologists, what have you, that people will deal with anxiety or depression that realize that as they get older, that there's something that maybe happened when they were a child. I know in my case, I think back, and yeah, I can understand why. Was there any issues that you want to share with us that maybe take you back to your youth to think, you know what, that could have been the problem?
I had some traumatic experiences when I was quite young.
Okay.
So I think that definitely there's a lot of relevance to how that contributed to my difficulties.
You also said that wives are always great because they always know what their husbands are going through. And in many ways, like, you know, what, you got a problem? No. You were one of those guys who wanted to, and we're going to use the finger quotes here, man up, say, I got a problem. I can handle it. I don't need anybody to tell me. Fair statement?
Yeah, that's a pretty fair statement. That was kind of, that was my upbringing. I'm not the youngest man, so when I was a kid, that's the message I got from, you know, my mom and just the older generation. So my wife would know when I was depressed and when things weren't going well, but I wouldn't talk to her or anybody else until I got really sick and I had to.
And of course that can cause problems as well, because you're not communicating with her, you're shutting her out of your life, and now she realizes maybe on her end it's something she did.
It's obviously it's difficult when you have a spouse or a partner, especially when you're not willing to talk about what's going on. And to be honest with you, it wasn't related to her. We've got a great relationship. She's my best friend. We've always been really close. It's just my own stuff, I guess.
What was it that made you finally realize, we use the expression manning up, but made you finally realize, you know, I don't want to use the term rock bottom here, but you realized I have to do something because something's not right.
That basically, I'm a little anxious talking about this, but yep. I'm sure it'll be okay. Back in 2009 was my first inpatient experience with the hospital system. I wanted to die, and I was pretty sure that I was going to make that happen, but I was conflicted, which I think anybody who's in that situation would be. So I called. I called Coast, mm-hmm. which is part of the agency that I work for right now, CMHA, and wasn't willing to have someone come to my house to talk to me, but the person on the phone asked if I would go see my family doctor. So I did that, and then I told my doctor what was going on, and my wife left work and came to the doctor's office. We drove to the hospital, and They decided it was best if I stay there for a while, so I did.
So now let's talk about the agency that you work for. We talked about you being a peer support worker for CMHA Halton, a group that we've talked about on this program. Kind of tell us how you ended up working there.
Okay. I guess this is probably a good starting point. So I was familiar with CMHA because between 2010 to 2012, I had two different case managers that were helping support me at CMHA. Both excellent, like really good guys. So I learned a lot. And one of my first case manager, Jim, introduced me to a peer support agency in Halton called Teach. So what I did to help manage the difficulties I was having is I did all the workshops that Teach had to offer, and then I did the training to facilitate the workshops. Then I facilitated a bunch of workshops and became kind of like a senior facilitator, where someone who had taken training but hadn't facilitated themselves would do the courses with me. And that was pretty cool. They gave me an award in 2012, which I wasn't expecting, and that was neat. And then I started working in the field on a permanent part-time basis with an assertive community treatment team. And a little over 3 years ago, CMHA hired me, so that's kind of cool.
And it's neat that from something that, I don't want to use the term bad, but obviously what you're going through, from something bad comes something good. The other part that intrigues me in this is because somebody who struggles to stay in shape and, you know, as I get over the age, that's a whole other issue. You have, with CMHA Halton, you have boxing classes for people that I find really intriguing. How did all that come about?
I think it's really cool, too, because I love teaching them. Basically, the first time I walked into a boxing gym was about 30 years ago. And when the new funding came out for more peer specialist, peer mentor, peer worker roles in Mississauga Halton, I got hired, and my friend, my coworker Linda, got hired as well. And the program was brand new, so with our two managers, we basically built the program. And after I'd been at CMHA for maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks, I asked Monty, I said, can we do a boxing program? It's something that's really helpful for me, manages my anxiety, my depression, and I'd like to teach classes. So he said we could do it, and that was pretty cool. So
we should mention that those classes aren't for staff. Well, it could be.
They can come, yes. There's a fair bit of staff that come on and off, yeah.
But it's also for anybody, correct?
Yeah. When we first started, it was just for people that were receiving services from CMHA. And then we opened it up to the general community. So basically anybody can come that's interested, wants to learn how to box, wants to get in shape, and it's fun.
What was a response like when somebody came in like the first time and they're looking, okay, I should do this, but I see the bags, I see the heavy bags, I see the you know, the punching bags and the ropes, and I don't know if I can do it. There must be some great success stories that you've seen from people, and you can see the shift in their eyes and their focus that, you know what, this is helping me a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. The hardest thing, to be honest, is just stepping through the door the first time you come in, because people are... Not everyone, but a lot of people are anxious and nervous. They're wondering, are they going to be able to do this or that right? Are people going to be looking at them? And I basically, what I do is when someone's new, I welcome them. I ask some questions about their experiences with boxing, if they've had any. And then we talk a bit about why I love to box, why it's important. And then we get started to do a warm-up. And start with the basics.
So we're not encouraging people to, well, not, I mean, if somebody wants to do this, if they're young enough, great. We're not encouraging people to actually go in and get into an amateur bout against somebody, but just the fact that this is helping their self-esteem and helping them get over whatever hurdles or just basically blow off steam. That's kind of what this is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've had people with social anxiety say they feel a lot more comfortable going out in the community after they started taking the boxing classes. I've had someone, she's been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, And she said that's helpful for her and her anxiety as well. And again, for me, it's a whole package deal. It's great for my mental health, my physical health, self-esteem, all that stuff.
In your career, short-lived as it is, and maybe with your experiences for the last several years, have we, in your opinion, have we made progress in the battle against mental health stigma? Because I know that a lot of people say, yes, we have, but people a lot of times say, you know, there's still a lot of work that has to be done.
I'm glad you asked that question because I was waiting for an opportunity to speak about that. I think there's still a lot of stigma and unfortunately a lot of self-stigma, you know, people doubting themselves or being fearful of sharing their experiences. But I think it's significantly less than it was maybe 5 or 10 years ago. I think it's we're breaking down some walls.
You were also involved in the Ride Don't Hide program a couple of years ago, riding the bike, raising funds for the CMHA. What was that like for you? Because a lot of people ask me to ride a bike, which I can't do. A lot of people ask me to go in the boxing gym and jump rope, which I can't do. What was that like for you?
So, for myself, I didn't actually do a ride. Okay. I was a virtual rider, so I raised funds for the agency.
Okay.
But my friend, my colleague, my coworker, Melanie, she asked me if I'd speak at the event.
Yep.
So I did that. So it was kind of, again, a bit nerve-wracking, but kind of neat and kind of cool.
Talk about that, because you're doing a great job now of telling your story. As you continue down this path, are you being asked to speak more in public every so often to share your story and talk to people?
Yeah, I'm not really sure if it's more occasions or fewer occasions, but I think it's fairly, you know, on a fairly regular basis, and I'm getting more comfortable with it.
What's it like when you do speak to somebody? Do people come up to you afterwards quietly and say, you know what, I'm glad you did this because I'm going through the same thing?
I'm going to say pretty much every time that's the case, yeah.
How does that make you feel?
It feels kind of cool. It's kind of neat. I'm, you know, quite nervous before I talk and definitely throughout the experience. As I'm talking, I feel my heart beating faster. And when I'm finished, I'm like, ooh, I don't know if that went well. Hopefully that went well. Hopefully that was helpful. But then generally I get some really good feedback, and that helps to alleviate those concerns afterwards.
Last question for you, and I know there's people that are listening to this on 900CHML and 900CHML.com on the podcast as well. We go worldwide. If somebody's sitting there now and they think they have a problem with anxiety or depression, they're not quite sure, and maybe their spouse has said to them, you know what, you need to do something, what's the advice you would have for them?
My advice would be that the sooner you get some type of support or some help, and the sooner you start talking about the difficulties you're experiencing, the better it's going to get. And I guess this is my experience, and what I've heard from a lot of people is it doesn't get easier over time. It gets progressively more difficult unless you start working to minimize and manage it and learn some skills and tools and strategies. Then it gets easier, and that's the way to go.
Our guest, Dave Kilgannon, who is a peer support worker with CMHA Halton, and sharing his story. Congratulations. You know, I keep thinking to myself, you know, I should get in the gym with you, but I told you, I cannot skip rope to save my life.
You don't necessarily have to. It's you. If you come to the class, you'll love it. You'll find that it's a lot of fun. And yeah, I think I might have said earlier, but basically, when someone comes to class and they're new, everybody else that comes to class regularly is very warm and welcoming. And we you know, start from where you are. So if you've never boxed before, we'll start with the basics. If you've done a bit of boxing, then we'll start at that level.
Our guest, as we mentioned, Dave Kilgannon, and this is the Health and Wellness Show, brought to you by Barry's Jewelers. Jewelry, we make it personal.
Thanks, Dad.